is the subcommittee of the general government meeting. This morning, our legislative fiscal office representatives, there's Georgine Bailey and clerk Jim Penn, will continue in a work session on Senate Bill 5527 for capital construction. We received and acknowledged and accepted a number of recommendations from legislative fiscal office in our meeting of the 15th of July, we'd like to go ahead, and we have the new memorandum from legislative fiscal office, and we'd like to go ahead and have Ms. Bailey go ahead and bring us back up to speed with a recollection of what we did and a recommendation of what we should continue to do.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, to the committee, good morning. The memorandum dated July 20th sort of summarizes what we did on the 15th. The departments that for which we approved their construction requests included the Employment Department, $2.5 million, State Forestry Department, $12.3 million, Department of Transportation, $1 million, and Airport Project, $4.4 million, Oregon State Air and Exposition Center Project, $2 million, Department of Administrative Services, $6.4 million, Department of Fish and Wildlife, $8.4 million, and Oregon Youth Authority, total for $97,99 and $99,01, about $400,000+. The remaining issues we have to talk about today are Military Department, Department of Corrections, and Oregon Department of Parks and Recreation. I have summarized under the heading remaining issues what you saw on the last memorandum, in other words, what we were talking about. If you go to the bottom third of the second page, you'll see a heading called Recommendations. Mr. Chairman, if it's agreeable to you, I'll move right into the recommendations.
Please.
Military Department, approve $1 general fund, $1 other fund, and $1 federal fund placeholders for each of the seven projects that we have talked about. That's the seven projects, not including Baker City. In relation to Baker City, I would request that you approve a budget note inviting the Military Department to return to the Emergency Board to request planning funds for additional projects, including Baker City, if it believes federal funds for armory construction are potentially available within a time frame that requires planning for such construction in the 1999-2001 budget. Mr. Chair, if you'd like, I can stop there, and we can approve Military Department or whatever the committee would like to do.
Representative Warren is recognized.
I don't see here, but is there in the first bullet that talks about the seven projects I discussed previously, I think it was $450,000 appropriation for the Baker City planning?
Mr. Chair, Representative Leonard, it is not here. It has been removed, and it is... The anticipation is that the budget note inviting the Military Department to come back for funds if they have federal funds available for construction. In other words, if they know federal funds are available in such a time frame that it would dictate you plan during this upcoming biennium, and then they would have federal funds to complete the construction immediately after they finish planning, then that budget note gives them the authority to get that $450,000 or whatever amount is appropriate.
Does that mean that project has moved from number one on the list to some other place?
Mr. Chair, Representative Leonard, I'm not sure of the priority of the project. I don't think it has moved in its priority.
Has the feasibility of the project changed?
Here's Susie.
Susie's our military expert.
Hey.
Hello.
What should we do on top of that? It's without myself.
The Baker City Armory never was the first priority for the military.
I understand that. Okay. But if we were to consider it the first priority, created so by the leadership.
It's still a priority for the leadership, but it's only that they would like the military to seek the federal funding first. The problem with this project is that you can't get reimbursed from the federal government unless you have a federal-state agreement in place.
And that hasn't occurred because it's not been up on the military radar screen.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to negotiate that with federal government. They have to get the project on a plan, a future improvement plan that spans 6 years back in Washington, D.C., and they have not achieved that yet. So they're working on that. And as soon as they get it on the plan, then they can work on a federal-state agreement to get the funding. So this budget note will give them time to negotiate that with the federal government. What the budget note is saying is as soon as you get that assurance, then come back to the emergency board, and then you'll have, and we won't have to necessarily go through a COP process, which is selling paper and paying interest. We can dedicate the general funds that you need for the state match, which is 25% now, to have your federal funds.
I think that was one of the concerns of the military department, was that if we advanced the status of the Baker City facility and sold the paper, then they would be somehow obligated to proceed not just with the planning, but also the payment of the interest on the COP.
That's correct. And the risk is that federal government would not reimburse if the state goes ahead and pays in advance.
All the other projects that were listed previously in the West Ontario, I think the Dalles, the center here in Salem, had been agreed to by the federal government.
That's correct.
Senator Shirley,
The other funds that we were going to dedicate to this project would go away, and then if it became possible to do this, we would use general funds from the E fund to fund it rather than the other funds that we were going to use.
Chair Butler, Senator Schroem, not necessarily. The military department does have an other fund, capital construction fund, where they do have a balance that they could draw on if that's available. And they get that money from selling other properties, and they are working on selling some property in Eugene, I think, currently.
Sounds as if, though, the way you first put it was to come back and draw from general fund, E fund.
If the other funds weren't available, that would be that where they'd have to get some money.
Susie, could they go for certificates of participation midterm? Is that a possibility? If the project came up for $500,000, could certificates of participation be authorized to the board at that point?
As long as there's enough authorization in the funding bill, they could later, yes.
Senator Perry always recognized.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Notwithstanding the fact that I consider our vulnerability with our border with Idaho a reasonable act by some members of this committee.
But I'm sure it is.
Some of the issues that we have before us. First of all, you do need a federal-state agreement before any of the projected state projects can be included in a six-year billing plan. And it's a chicken-egg equation as far as these projects are concerned. We heard about a priority list, but the priority list is an apples and orange thing. So let me see if I can make a little less fruit salad over there. The Ontario project already approved for planning, and it's fairly close to planning completion. So when the plan is completed, it becomes eligible for direct infusion of federal funds, and that's why we're putting the $1 other fund limitation on the budget. When the plan is complete, the federal dollars become available. The other priorities that have been listed on the military budget will move up, obviously, but they're also in different categories. Some are in the planning stages, and others are in the various processes of the planning stages. But virtually all of those had to be included in a six-year plan. And what we're being told by the federal agencies is you don't get on the six-year plan unless the state has committed planning dollars. So the equation is you don't commit the planning dollars early, you don't get on the six-year cycle. So what we're doing with the budget now may or may not be effective because it's almost a certainty that unless there is something that we do within this biennium, then the budget note's not effective because it limits us to this biennium. Nothing will be approved in this biennium because with a six-year cycle. So the planning dollars, which were not really dollars, we weren't really appropriating any dollars. We were creating a limitation for the agency. And we were using the mechanisms of COPs to say if the agency is ready to do the planning, you have the authority to sell the COP. We heard that the agency was worried about interest on the COPs, but they're not compelled to do the COPs until they actually do the planning. So what we are looking at is the question of, are we going to allow Baker City to be included in a six-year cycle? Are we going to allow the agency to have a limitation in order to be able to participate in the planning? And if the planning dollars are committed to, either through the increase in the allocation of expenditure limit for the agency or the authority to sell COP, then we can go back to the federal agency and say, Baker City has the authority. We would like to participate in the planning process. That puts us in a six-year cycle, and it also makes us eligible for reimbursement if we go forward with the plan. So when you look at all the details, it isn't an appropriation of dollars that would happen possibly during this two-year cycle at all. It is a request for limitation for the agency. It is a request for authorization to use COPs, but either mechanism will work. Other funds, COPs, or even general funds from the E-Board. But in any case, we probably need to commit to the planning practice in order to be included in that six-year cycle. So I hope those details fit in a priority. In any case, none of this competes with anything that's going on with Ontario or any of the other armory projects in the state of Oregon. They're not competitive. They are in rotation, and the rotation changes depending on the availability of state planning commitments and federal appropriation dollars. Did I get any of that right?
That's correct.
Got it all right.
Good. Senator Trump, I move that we accept the recommendation of the fiscal department on the voluntary department.
Question on the motion, Mr. Trump?
Thank you. Senator Ferriola, question?
If we take the phrase off that has to do with limiting this project to this biennium, I'll be perfectly comfortable with that. But if we limit it to this biennium, the question for me is whether or not we can actually go back to the agency and say we've committed to planning. Because the way the budget note reads, and maybe I'm misinterpreting it, the way the budget note reads, it says for a project that would be constructed in this biennium, and no project will be constructed in this biennium. So in effect, the budget note...
And it says planning for such construction. It doesn't say the project will be constructed. It's planning.
So am I assured that we're... That if there was a need for planning, that this budget note would be effective?
Mr. Chair, Senator Ferriola, the intent there was, since this is a two-year budget cycle that they had come back on this, we're doing this third time, it wasn't intended to focus on construction during the
99-2001.
Just the
plan.
Just
the plan. Okay.
Thank you very much. And just to make sure that the record is correct, Ontario is only somewhere between 10% and 15% in the planning completion. It's not nearing the end of planning completion. It takes considerable time, and that's the information that was given previously to me by Colonel Caldwell. The motion by Senator Crow is that we go ahead and accept the recommendation relative to the military department budget and budget notes for the placeholders for the seven projects, so the $7 in general funds and $7 in other funds. And the federal fund placeholders. Are there any
not a question, but a statement. Since my colleagues in Southeast Portland have started poking at this project, I've had significant calls from local constituents of that project, including the chair of the Multnomah County Commission endorsing it, that she's been over and seen it, and it sounds like
what she voted for right now.
Chair of the Multnomah County Commission.
Absentee ballots are in the mail.
Anyway, it's I've got a lot of feedback that it's a real exciting project, and there's some incredible network going, networking going on with local people in terms of trying to get a wonderful use.
And Mr. Chairman, I have to want to gain a new appreciation for Senator's insight for questioning on this issue.
Well, I'm glad to hear that Portland political leaders are concerned about our Idaho-Oregon border.
We'll see if we can't shore it up and make it safer and make sure that those counties along the border can connect with our agencies. The motion is that we accept the military budget. Senator Crow, having made that motion, are there any objections to including that the military portion as well as that budget note? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and incorporate the military budget and the budget note as as recommended.
And Mr. Chairman, the committee insists it's probably going to be beautiful upstairs. Department of Productions is the next one. The recommendation for Department of Corrections is to approve the 1999-2001 project as proposed. Those totaled $16,209,336. And that is the, they're listed individually just above, expansion design for three institutions, South Fork Forest Camp, Powder River Correctional Institute, Lakeview, Junction City, Madras, White City Pre-Construction, Groundwater Project, Oregon State Correctional Institution, and placeholder for 1135 projects in Sandlick, Lincoln, and Lincoln County. I would also recommend that you approve the leading subsection or section 2.3.J of the bill that related to the Women's Prison and Intake Center under 1999-01 project, and it's a duplication in the bill.
What was that again?
It's a duplication in the bill. It's section 2.3.J.
So it doesn't
affect anything except correct the bill.
Sure, I move the legislative fiscal military recommendation. What is the groundwater project? $350,000.
I'm sorry.
Groundwater project? What's that? Chair, I'm in my motion. I'm in my direction. Good military.
The groundwater project primarily relates to the Oregon State Penitentiary, where they're under right now they're undertaking a D2 voluntary cleanup program. This is an interim cleanup system that's being used to clean up contaminated groundwater. It's an ongoing process, and the funds of $850,000 is to allow them to operate the system, collect test data, and evaluate alternatives for a long-term cleanup.
Where is this at again?
It's Oregon State Penitentiary on South State Street.
And what is the groundwater contaminated from?
I believe it's from the laundry facilities that the department has operated for many years.
And they're going to a sump or something?
Apparently there was some leakage in the drainage system, and it's in the underground. So they're participating in the D2 voluntary cleanup program right now.
Sure.
Senator Lynn is recommended.
Is it going to be fixed it and no more leakage at this time?
To my knowledge, they fixed the problem. This is cleanup of a problem that occurred over many years.
Where is it? Which facility on State Street, you say?
Yes, it's the State Penitentiary.
Okay. Mr. Chair. Representative. That's what
it's recognized. That's what I'm sure. I just want a clarification. Is this actually contaminated groundwater or potential contamination of water with contaminants in the ground?
I probably have Dave talk to that directly if you cared. I believe it's groundwater only.
So it is in the ground. It is in the water.
It's in the
State Coast Record, Department of Corrections. I'm not a hydrologist, but this has been going on for some time. These were dumpings of dry cleaning chemicals that have occurred over the last, I guess, probably 25 or 30 years before people were aware of the effect of that. And what we have at this point is a project that will continue for some time, as much as I think 8 to 10 years, to essentially recycle and scrub the water and ensure that it's put back in the ground in a condition that's within the bounds that the DEQ has recommended. This has been going on now for a couple of years. I don't remember specifically how long, but we've been working with the neighborhoods and the experts in this. We have consultants who are working with us to ensure that both the water is cleaned and whatever we do that as part of the scrubbing process doesn't become airborne either. So that's at this point under control, and this is the ongoing cost of doing this work that is not inexpensive but necessary.
Okay.
Mr. Cook, is this a, you said it's an 8-10 year project. Is this an $850,000 project or is this a $4 million project?
Chair Butler, I can't tell you the exact ultimate cost of this. I know that for this particular biennium, it's this cost. I think there's some expected reduction in the cost, but once we begin the operation of scrubbing, it that's ongoing until the belief is that the water's in condition to be tolerable.
Further questions regarding the water scrubbing project, being prudent? Thank you very much, Mr. Cook.
Mr. Chair, my motion was to accept the corrections recommendations of what's up.
Does that include at the top of page 3, Senator? Including the top of page 3? Because we have additional recommendations
for the corrections.
Yes, the corrections.
Yes. Those are okay, right?
If I could explain the top of the page a little bit to you. What that, what those two bullets at the top reflect for you is that the department has approximately $154.9 million in remaining other funds, capital construction, expenditure limitations unused for with the construction of the Women's Prison Intake Center at a Wilsonville or Wilsonville Urban Reserve site. And what this action does is it reduces that capital construction authority down to the amount they have paid thus far on that project, so that there is no further authority to spend on that site, Wilsonville Urban Reserve, and establishes a new capital construction authority for what is the estimated cost to complete that project, $171.7 million. The language that's been recommended for a conclusion in this bill is not inconsistent with some of the language that's being proposed to be added into 686, which is the exciting bill, and that is to say that the department has the authority, the capital construction authority, to construct the women's prison intake center at any site except the damaged hospital site.
Say that again for me, if you would, please. The Senate Bill 686 references the citing issue.
It will attempt to resolve it. They met last night. They're going to meet again today. It hasn't been finally resolved. But it's my understanding that language is being considered for that bill that would be in, this would not be in conflict with.
Okay.
And that is to say that they would have capital construction authority to build that facility at any site named by the governor except
I would like some assurance from the Department of Corrections that that part of the that this is consistent with where they should be on this deciding process. But we don't do anything here that comes up to words.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Dave Kirk, Department of Corrections. Damage is the only site that the Department of Corrections currently has for Women Prison Intake Center. In a situation where 686 or some other bill did not resolve the siting issue, this action would effectively ensure that the department had no sites. So that these are sort of hand in hand in some way as they move down the track. And a decision on the part of this committee that take damage as the only site essentially precludes the department from any kind of construction whatsoever for that center. I think that's a fair analysis of it. Sue might feel to find a point on it. Larry might as well, but that's basically the effect of it.
And with the passage of the bill that we're talking about along with this action, would there then be an opportunity to build a prison?
With the passage of a bill that did not restrict the Department of Corrections or the Governor's Office from citing, and this bill precluded the use of damage, as might a number of other bills, particularly 686, the Department could build with the authority that you're providing to us here. as I say, though, they have to be companion pieces. If I won't speak for the governor, but I suspect that if this unsights damage and nothing else can happen, that puts this in some jeopardy.
But it makes sense to approve this because it is considered a companion piece, right?
I don't know that I can answer that, Senator Trump.
I could try this to move.
Representative Leonard is right.
Go ahead, Greg.
Representative Hanson?
Okay. I can certainly understand the two working together as companions there. The problem is if at some point during the legislative process they get disconnected, we could have a very real problem, because I could see some of the political support for alternatives to damage melting away, because this would be precluded building the damage. And if we're serious about citing someone, that would be an incredibly poor tactic to you.
Governor still has a veto of this and anything else.
Representative Leonard is recognized.
I missed where the conclusion was to allow this money to be used for the damage site. You're talking about Section 5 of the bill?
Sure, Butler, the proposal would be that Section 5 and 6 would be Section 5 would be deleted and replaced with the new Section 5 and 6.
Where is that language?
We would have that probably drafted.
Oh, I see. We don't actually have that now. So the concept is to prepare some amendments to 5527 that would specifically include the damage site.
That's correct. To reduce the existing traffic construction authority and establish a new one that would be for any site.
Mr. Chairman, what are the sources of those amendments, or who are the sources of those amendments?
I believe Senator Miller has brought those down. Representative Leonard,
do we have them?
No, I do not have the. There's a dash 5, and I understand that's going to be amended to dash 6. I have a dash 4, but I'm not. But it is. I understand that it was included in the dash 5. Amendments, but they're not ready. They're not here to be passed out because they're waiting on dash 6.
Well, speaking for myself, I would oppose the amendment, and if somehow the amendment got into the bill, I would oppose the entire bill here and on the full Ways and Means and on the floor.
That's fair. Thank you. As Senator Lynn is recognized.
Someone explain to me what's the political reason or whatever reason why the damage is excluded from here instead of opening up the whole site.
My understanding of the direction in offering the amendment, it was to be consistent with the agreement that we reached for passage of Senate Bill 686. Unfortunately, that bill was not worked last night. It's being worked this morning. So I think it's the intention of the co-chairs to have the capital construction bill and the bond bills worked and moved to the extent that they are consistent with that agreement and not in conflict with it.
What are you talking about, agreement with whom?
My understanding, Senator Lynn, is that would be an agreement between the governor's office and the legislative leadership.
Okay. So is taking the action that we're taking here consistent with what you understand that agreement to be?
Chair Butler and Senator Trell, it is. Both House Bill 3446 and proposed language for Senate Bill 686 would both preclude building that facility at damage, and this is not inconsistent with proposed language for either of those bills.
Chairman.
Senator Trail is recognized.
My understanding is that currently the authority that exists within the agency allows citing only at damage, and that is inconsistent with the wishes of leadership on in both branches of government at this time, possibly. And I think those issues are under discussion. Any other alternatives will only grow out of authority that this subcommittee and the Full Ways and Means Committee and the body, the legislative body grants, that would allow broader application of those funds to sites other than damage. And I think that people are still trying to maintain all of the options.
That's your understanding, Director Cook.
Chair Butler, I think that's an accurate assessment of the situation. The other option, and I don't know if this has been expressed, is certainly to give generic authority to the Department of Corrections for the amount that Larry has specified, and to let the citing process, 686 and 34, 46, do what they're going to do, and make no mention of that in this piece of legislation.
Chair, President Leonard is recognized.
I think it was the 95 special that passed the super citing authority.
1989, I think.
89. And so the governor used that to determine that the damage site was where the prison was. And at least since the 97 session, they've been fighting over that. And if this were to pass, and the other bill, if the companion bill to this were to fail, then effectively the prison couldn't be built at the site that the super siting statute gives the authority to the governor to build at the site. So this is an obvious option for the governor if that other companion bill doesn't pass. It's unacceptable. Then the prison can't be built with that.
We're in the process of some kind of attempt to resolve this issue, and I think all sides are talking, and,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's going to take the passage of several pieces of legislation, this being one of them. Now, as I understand it, the governor still has the power of veto over any of these things if it doesn't unfold to his liking. So that's why I feel fairly comfortable in moving this along, because I think it's part of a process that will get us to an acceptable site for the person.
In my opinion, it is unnecessary to have that amendment in order to create the authorization to build the prison. All it does is remove an option that the governor would have if things didn't flow. And if we veto a bill like this at this late in the session, does this delay us from adjourning if we have to have a bill like this at some point? So I just think it's some more gamesmanship that we don't need.
My understanding is Senate Bill 686 and House Bill 3446 are all on the table which deal with this issue, and the governor and his office is a key player and part of the discussion in those various ongoing issues. Senator Ferrioli is recognized.
Thank you, sir. I would say that good senator from Corvallis has apprehended accurately my understanding of the situation as well, and to pretend that there are not people of goodwill and experience that honestly disagree about this issue would be to overlook what we've been discussing for 6 months in this building relative to prison siting.
And sometimes to get things done, you just simply have to take into consideration where people have been and do things kind of gradually. And it looks like this process will work.
And I agree. I think that this is incremental. my objective here would not be to preclude any option. And as the senator from Corvallis points out, the governor has a line item veto. He has the ability to veto the budget bill. So that certainly preserves his option. The authority being reauthorized is directional. And it does narrow choices, but it doesn't preclude them. So I would support an amendment that would allow reauthorization. I would not support an amendment that would allow the agency to have the choice, because we want that choice to be made in a public policy arena by people that are subject to the scrutiny of voters. So I would suggest that the legislature and the governor have made an agreement that concurrent legislation will move forward at the same time. I think we might have spun the cart in front of the horse, but there's a way to catch up at full words and means, and I think that's the objective here. So I would support the amendment that reauthorizes and precludes the siting at damage at this point in time.
Representative Hansen.
Will we be, I heard a mention of Dash 5 and 6 amendments. Is there still the still amendments being drafted?
Chair Butler, Representative Hansen, that's correct. In order for this to be placed before the full committee, these amendments would all be placed into one set of amendments for them to consider adopting, and that language would have to be there. At this point, the recommendation was to at least present conceptually what we would be asking you to approve for the full committee.
And action, but Mr. Chairman, if I may, action by this committee is simply conceptual direction to the chair and LFO, so that we, when we see the amendments and have the actual bill before us, that the chair will be able to take action expeditiously, because we'll have discussed all the amendments and the. And the pieces and parts of this bill. Is that correct?
That's correct. And it is our intention to have this bill work in concert with Senate Bill 686.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Troll has moved that we approve the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendations of the Department of Corrections portion of the Senate Bill 5527 as recommended. Are there any objections? We would be approving conceptually the direction of the conceptual amendments and directing it to the board for final approval. Senator Lynn is recognized.
Thank you. Pardon me. I want to make sure that there's an agreement with the governor's office and that the court shares the way and mean on this issue. And I don't have any written agreement that I can see when I heard from it. I haven't heard from your first hand those two involved in the agreement. How do I know there is an agreement?
Chair Butler and Senator Lynn, the language that we recommend you adopt today is contingent upon passage of Senate Bill 686 out of committee in an acceptable form. Okay. And if that doesn't occur, then there would probably be good reason to bring this bill back to the Board of Committee.
So this would create an expenditure limitation for construction in accordance with the provisions of Senate Bill 686, and that's our understanding. And the presentation here today is that the co-chairs, the governor, the leadership of the House and Senate are all working towards the common goal of making that language palatable for all parties concerned. And if that conceptual and or the direction should change and that concept of working competitively together were to change, then we would have to come back and change it in this committee, or it would not be it would not go through the full at that point as it's presently concepted.
Sir, I just want to say that I'm encouraged that we have conversations going on by the affected parties, and I think they've worked out a process that can get us to an acceptable solution, and this is part of this, and I think we ought to do this.
And I acknowledge Senator Troll for being part of that being a portion of the solution is the whole part of the problem, and I think that we need to proceed now to go ahead and go ahead and adopt the recommendations of Legislative Fiscal, which take into consideration the construction of the language in Senate Bill 686. Representative Lunders is recognized.
Well, maybe I misunderstood the testimony. I didn't quite get that there was full cooperation on this from what you said.
Mr. Chair, Representative Leonard, I think Senator Troll has indicated what has taken place and what we hope to have take place in the next several days. I guess I'm just awaiting some finality to this, as probably are a bunch of other people. But I think that the conversations are being had, and I think that Chair Butler's assessment of it is accurate as well. If in fact 686 derails or something else goes wrong, then this bill will be back again, would be my take.
But if the bill came back, would the amount authorized to build the prison change?
It should not change, Representative Langer. That amount is workable, I believe, in other locations.
So if we didn't have this amendment,
Bill wouldn't move from that.
Well, that was the statement I made earlier, but as Senator Ferriore already suggested, the Department of Corrections with authority and without oversight and some of that may be unpalatable to people. So I think these are hand in hand. I think the process moves ahead, and I hope that it's all going to be resolved in a couple of days. And
if my recollection serves me correctly, I think the dollar amount, the financial limitation amount that we're seeking is the high end of the amounts which were presented in testimony, not the highest amount that has ever been because you've been able to extract your efficiencies, but it is at the high end of the amounts that you're looking at as potential siting locations for the facility itself.
Sure, Brother, I believe that to be true, although in areas where you don't know enough about a given site, it's really unknowns in some cases, but this is a dollar figure which we believe is going to allow us to construct a facility, and we may be able to do something better than that, but that's still to be determined.
Did you have a question, Representative? Any further discussion on the motion by Senator Trove? Any objections to the Representative Leonard objects? Any further objections to the Representative?
I'm not objecting, but certainly I'm voting for it with understanding that if there's a breakdown in negotiations, it'll come back.
That's a given. That certainly is a given at that point. Recognizing that if there is Senate Bill 686 or the other negotiations that bring those bills, or if those bills pass and are vetoed, then certainly that would bring this issue back to the table. So, with that motion, with that understanding, Representative Leonard is no. Look to the roll call, if we could please.
Leonard?
No.
Hanson?
Yes.
Yes. Barry Owen.
Okay.
Lynn.
Aye.
Trump.
Aye.
Butler.
Aye. The motion passes. We will go ahead and incorporate the Department of Corrections portion into Senate Bill 5527. Thank you very much, Director Cook.
Mr. Chairman,
members
of the committee, the only thing you have left to do on this budget is related to the Oregon Parks and Recreation. As you recall, the other day we talked about a budget note and the dollar limitation for Trojan nuclear plant that has been taken off the table, so we will not approve that or consider it. The next item is approve a budget note directing the Oregon Parks and Recreation Commission to work with the Port of Brookings identifying financing alternatives for maintenance of Port Haven Beach. And the last item for parks is approve the project to identify and evaluate potential sites for a state park in Washington County and appropriate $100,000 general fund for initial planning and purchase of options on real property for Washington County State Park.
Are there any objections to the dropping of the language on the Trojan nuclear plant site or any of the rest?
Can you give us a why on that one? Why are we dropping?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Portland General Electric indicated to me that they do not wish to pursue it any further.
And how about us?
It was taking on a life of its own, as I think they continue to be willing
throwing problems,
lowering problems.
That is fine.
The footprint of the facility was never in question. It was the park area, something in the vicinity of 500 plus acres adjacent that they had proposed. And I think that each time that this was brought back up, it seemed to grow and glow, and it just started to take on a new life. And that is not what they had intended to call the Portland General Electric. They wanted to do it as a good citizen, as opposed to trying to
make it appear that in any way, shape, or form they were trying to divest themselves of any responsibility or liability, which they cannot do under federal law at any rate. So at this point, that has been removed from the table, and I think that's probably the responsible corporate thing to do. That may yet come up as an issue at a later time.
We have questions about the Washington County.
Washington County, proposed site in Washington County.
They have $100,000 dedicated from the general fund. Why aren't we using maybe $66 that are specifically appropriated for the acquisition of new parks as opposed to general fund dollars?
I just thought it would be a good thing to have a park over in near where Rick John Hanson lives.
He doesn't live here in Washington County.
You only did.
That close to you, really.
Not unless I'm here. I know that in our parks and recreation budget, we discussed some issues relative to the parks, our county parks. Sitting here, would you like to address that, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Measure $66 has been 100% allocated. There is a, I believe it's a $5 million allocation for limitation for the land acquisitions. All of these would have to go through the Parks priority process through the Parks Commission. I don't know why $100,000 in general fund was put here, but I believe it's, it comes from the leadership. So. That's the best answer I can give you.
Where's the park going to be located in Washington County?
That's what the Parks Department would have to determine.
Oh, and then there's even a fight?
I don't know.
This is just to investigate, mm-hmm. Correct? The plan for initial planning of the
purchase of options on real property in Washington County. Forest State Park. It's my understanding that we did set aside in Measure 66 money for county parks. Is it my understanding Washington County, there's a county that has no state parks in it whatsoever.
That's
is it Washington County?
There's a reason for that.
And that reason is?
People drive through Washington County to get to state parks.
I think this was probably the reason for the placeholder of the $100,000.
But they drive very slow.
Very slow. was to be able to provide that all counties within the state would have an opportunity to have at least one state park within each of the counties as a fairness issue. And this does not cite a park. It merely provides the placeholder for a park and recognizes the potential park to be sited in Washington County. Senator, Representative Ferriero is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll defer to Representative
Ferriero.
That's the low point.
I was listening to the discussion.
Mr. Chair, we've dealt with Park Shetty earlier in the session, and the answer we always got back was that it was a good or a bad site, but that it should go through the Parks setting process. And even if it went through this process, it seemed to me that it should be $1 as opposed to $100,000. So putting that $100,000.
And so that the $100,000 would be allocated to the emergency board is your recommendation?
Well, my preference would be that it goes through their process.
I can't be a $1 so that you get started on it and see where you are. Get a plan, get sites, and then spend
$100 is a problem.
Well, the point is there's a process by which we acquire parks, and the voters are tasked. Measure 66, and that creates a farm specific one for the acquisition parks. Why does this particular geographic area go to the top of the heap over the normal process and get $100,000 allocated without even having a site identified? You know,
really not
covered by the rules. I think we do have parks and the parks budgets. My recollection was it was like, what was it, $5 million? It was set aside for county parks. Well,
no, Mr. Chair. Chair, there's $5 million set aside for land acquisition for parks. There is $4 million set aside for local grants. And this may be one of those areas where the county could come and ask for a grant for a county park, but not for a state park. The state would be responsible for any land acquisition dedicated to a state park and developing that. So that would have to come out of the land acquisition. I don't recall in the list of areas that the Parks Commission has been considering that Washington County was a priority. And this allocation or appropriation of $100,000 is to help parks look for sites that they could acquire as a priority versus using Measure $56 for that purpose. So it's an incentive to locate a park.
And you know, to say that the county doesn't have state parks as a rule in the city, they do have another county park, I'm trying to remember the name of the lake, big attraction. So, and it isn't as though they're without recreational opportunities in Washington County.
Mr. Chair, are we going to need a superseding legislation for this park in Multnomah County?
That's the case. It will be located in
Hardy County.
That's a good amount of your county.
Hey,
that's Lake or Honey.
You're going to get a national monument.
National monument. We were thinking about moving that. They actually have made a proposal that the nuclear cast be removed from Trojan and moved to Southern Niagara County.
Wow.
At one point, Governor Roberts didn't want to move across the state. Or keep them in the portal there, keep your warm. Are there any other comments relative to the $100,000? And I do know that this is a issue that leadership has directed this and has budgeted and allocated for this particular fund for a state park. The evaluation of the potential price for a state park in Washington County.
Sure, that's why we have committees and we all independently are because we get to judge these things on the basis of their merit.
Well, we're not going to take that away from you either. We'll get a chance to vote on it here.
I have a concern with $100,000 general fund. At this time, we have a lot of money needed for education orders. You know, from general fund going into the super siding in Washington County, which I do not know why. I just became a person without having full knowledge of it.
Do we have anyone who just climbed the half of State Park in Washington County. Okay. We've got a Washington County representative right here.
Good morning. I'm Dennis Mulvihill, Washington County, and I will probably need to have some help from the parks folks, too. Washington County does not have a state park that has overnight facilities. And we've tried to get one since I've been working for the county, 11 years.
Not a state park.
It's a linear park. No overnight camping facilities. Head Lake is a federal ownership. We run it for them, basically. And we're actually having to turn people away because we can't. There's too many people coming out there. So the idea was to jumpstart this a bit. We've got a lot of different sites that are available. In fact, we're trying to get as many sites on the table as possible for some competition on it. And this was an attempt to help the department have the money to look at and help us sort out these different sites so we can get started on it. The idea that, and we've got some even private holdings there that we may be able to work some deals too. I mean, we're not just waiting for the state to pay for everything. The idea was to just help us get started on it, and we'll do the rest of it to help move it along and build some community support. Because once you do take a state park, it isn't it takes a community to keep it running, too. And this was just a pretty straightforward effort to get the money here to get us started on it that we've been working on a long time. We were turned down several times over the years. In fact, there was a study done in 1988, identified four sites that were very good, and then half a dozen other ones, and we're using that to go back to the list also. But we need the Parks Division to do the work, because they ultimately have to make the decision, and the Parks Commission here at the moment and have to bless something here, but we need some help to take a hard run at it and get some evaluation done.
This is from State Parks, Mr. Laughlin. Let me ask the
witness, why wouldn't just the budget note directing them to look at these sites and $1 general fund be sufficient? Why do you need $100,000 to look for some sites and identify them?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trow, because it costs money to do the work, and the Parks Division are the people that do the work. In other words, if the county went out and did all the work, you're still going to have the Parks folks come and do that. And that's the simple version of it, is that
it costs $100,000 to site a park.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Trow, it costs some money to find it, some money to plan for it, and then we were hoping that there'd be some money there to tie some land up, so that we can put together the rest of the package, and we'll be back here for years to come. It takes a long time, as I understand this, to make these things go. And this gives us the flexibility to go take it all the way to that point. Because I'll be back here in front of you as long as you're here, Senator Trow, probably asking for more money from State Parks to help us develop it and then maintain it.
Mr. Lawson, you want to comment on that on behalf of State Parks, because you know that you've been maintaining such a facility once it is sited and up and running.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jim Lockwood, Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. Just one clarification so you know, the budget note is not of our instituting. Just, I don't want to, by being here, imply something that's not. Although I don't want to imply that we're opposed to it either. It's just one of those things that that comes along in this process. Dennis is correct that he will be back over and over. That's true. One of the things that we have now, and I think those of you that have had anything to do with natural resources are aware that there are a number of great ideas for parks in the state. For whatever reason, the desire to build one in Washington County has never gelled at the right time. And what I would see is that the some people look at the dollars set aside for new park acquisition as already to go toward acquisition of things that have been lined up for years or that have come up recently and need to be kind of weighed in the priorities as we have options right now. And so I think Washington County's perspective has been that if we could have a little bit of money, we being Washington County, not me, a little bit of money set aside for planning, maybe we can finally get the best spot in a very populous and growing area, identify what that is so we can kind of get in the queue for down the road and sort out what's really the best thing to have before the options get too expensive or dry up in that county. And that's just my sense of it. There are many ways to do this, but this is just the direction that the county and my understanding of the leadership thought. If we identify this piece to work on it, then down the road there will be a specific plan that can be weighed among the other alternatives.
Thank you, Mr. Law.
What's the,
you're talking about $100,000. What about $25,000? Why wouldn't $25,000 work?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Trow, I think is that we wanted to have enough to do the looking for the site, which costs money. Then you have to put a plan together for a site, and then you have to have some money in there for putting a down to tie it up. And so we wanted to have enough there to tie it up so we could hold it still long enough to put together the rest of the package. Our assumption is that we're going to use some of our money to help put this together too. And this is just to hold it still long enough for us to put the rest of the package together. So that's why the round number was used.
Rockwood, is that a reasonable amount, $100,000 to do this? It sounds to me a little excessive.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Trow, actually, when I've talked it through with people on a number of planning projects around the state, I think the $100,000, given the idea of buying an option on property or something like that, in Washington County, because of the expense or because of the possibility of even a large-scale park over in the west, the mountainous wooded area, it actually could fall short. That's why we have talked from the sense that the county or industry in that area, whatever, would need to be partners in it as well. So I think that although it's kind of an arbitrary number, it's probably the best number that anybody could pick from our way.
Thank you, Mr. Lockwood. Let's go ahead and have a recommendation. I think we've arrived at a recommendation from the Legislative Fiscal Office at this point.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I'm going to recommend that you put a $1 limitation in there, and that when parks can fine-tune a more firm estimate on what it would be, they can return to the emergency board for a dollar amount, and they can reserve some money there in the emergency fund bill.
Okay. Representative Hansen, we need to move this bill.
Okay, real quick. I think that would be a good solution. There's one other aspect Mr. Mulderhill didn't speak about, and that's the Metro green space movement. I think there could possibly be money there that could help in terms of securing an auction. There's been a great deal of green space acquisition planning that's been done in the metro area that I think the sites are there and identified. It's just a case of pulling things together on a particular one.
Thank you.
Sure. I'll move the revised LFO recommendation.
Senator Pearl now moves the revised LFO recommendation relative to the Oregon Park and Recreation portion of Senate Bill 5537. Are there any objections?
I'm going to vote no.
Representative Hansen votes no. Any other
Representative
Leonard, I beg your pardon. Representative Leonard votes no. Representative Hansen says yes. Senator Ferrioli, yes. there's one no vote on the committee. Recognizing Representative Leonard's no vote, we'll go ahead and incorporate that into the bill.
Mr. Chair, the only other thing is the budget bill on Department of Administrative Services requires them to do a feasibility study on the needs of the Justice Building and when seeking approval for construction of other major gas on the state facilities. They should prepare cost-benefit analysis addressing issues that are outlined here in the budget notes.
Have they been involved in the budget notes? Yes.
They have dedicated
yes. I move for the acceptance of the budget.
Senator Crow now moves the acceptance of the budget notes relative to the Department of Administrative Services. Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so are you
Mr. Chair, I want to make certain that in your discussions with corrections that you approve of their request to the request to allow them to set up a separate account. We had talked about that earlier. Was that included in
that? I moved that.
Okay, that was part
Senator Crow's original motion. There was no objection to the separate account that they set up. We will order that in as a portion of there being seeing and hearing no objections.
Sure, if the bill is ready as amended, I move Senate Bill 5527 to the full committee.
We are now entertaining the motion that we move forward with Senate Bill 5527 to the full committee with due pass recommendation of Senator Crow. Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. We'll move that forward. Senator Crow, if you carry that to one short poll. And would you be willing to carry that to the Senate?
Yes. Okay. Did I miss the vote?
Yes, you did. Thank you very much.
much. We do need to House Resolution 4. We have a public hearing.
That was a good move. 5527. Gary, I'll pay you that $20. We'll now open the work session on House Senate Resolution 4. Representing the Legislative Circuit Office, we have Jonathan Ryan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Janie is now passing out to you a fiscal impact and staff measure summary on House Senate Resolution 4 and growth. This grant resolution proposes an amendment to the Constitution to establish that marriage may only be between one male and one female and must be solemnized by law. This passed out of the House, A and Gross, referred to Senate Committee on Public Affairs, and it passed out of Senate Affairs with a due pass recommendation, and it was referred away to me, undoubtedly because of the fiscal impact. The fiscal impact before you shows a cost of $1.2 million for a special election. House Bill 2354 has been passed and has appropriated $1.4 million to the emergency fund for the Secretary of State for costs to be incurred with the November 1999 special election that was provided for in House Bill 2354. So this resolution will be placed on that special election ballot. Right now, we estimate that we have appropriated $1.4 million to the emergency fund for the Secretary of State to accept that November 1999 special election. They may, and that the Secretary of State then will come to the emergency board seeking whatever the cost of that election is to be. This resolution, if passed out, will be on that special election. You have staff measure summary. Actually, the minority report was adopted because I think the bill initially stands between adults, and there was some discussion between people can actually get married under the age of 18. They took out the word adults there. So that's the amendment. That's the resolution that's for you. It's to be put on, put this measure on the November 1999 special election. That has already been approved and money has been appropriated for.
Mr. Chair, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dallas, can you share with me if there are quite a few items that are going to be on the November 99 election, why the charge off to this particular resolution is as much as it is, if we're going to already be conducting a vote by mail, so it's going to cost us $1.2 million additional just to add this one?
Mr. Chair, members of the city, no, it will not. This fiscal, as each of our fiscal impacts, is kind of a standalone thing that if we look at this one resolution, if it's the only one on the special election, then the entire cost of the special election is presented on the fiscal impact. Unlike the other fiscals where there are things that are being put forth for already prescribed primary elections or general elections. So those are just the incremental costs because those elections are generally provided in the Secretary of State's overall budget. So the fiscal impact here presents the estimated cost of the special election for one item. And that's what we're going.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Are there any other discussion, President Hansen?
Well, just if we could reduce the cost down to a dollar, I'd rather see the money spent on a Washington County park. I'll be opposing this all the way through.
I have a question. Could somebody explain to me what paragraph 1, section 5, sub 1 means?
I'm sorry, I don't hear
of the bill. The pecuniary rights of every married woman and time of marriage.
Well, he has
they just took separate out and re-spelled it correctly.
I understand that. I'm asking what the expression may be.
This existing law.
Mr. Chair, Representative Leonard, once upon a time, It used to be standard law in this country. I'm Greg Chamoff, Legislative Council. It used to be the law that when a poor gentleman with massive debts would marry a rich woman, that her property would thereby be encumbered with his debts as a means of trying to prevent that from happening. The provision you're referencing was put into the Constitution by our founders.
And you said once upon a time, but that's in our Constitution. That's still binding in Oregon.
Mr. Chair, Representative, this provision was attempting to undo that injustice, and it is still part of our Constitution, yes.
So that if a, am I reading this correct, if a man with substantial assets married a woman with substantial debts, he'd be responsible?
Mr. Chair, Representative Laird, not under current statute, no.
That's dealt with in statute.
Okay, we have before us the legislative fiscal recommendation
relative to the special election costs on House Senate Resolution 4. Is there any further discussion relative to the fiscal issues?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm going to oppose this because I think it's a horrible waste of money on a, forgive me, but a stupid proposal to go before the voters. There's not belong in the state constitution. When I read it, it just takes me back to when the founding fathers created the original constitution, probably had a debate much like this about what was referred to then as Negroes and Chinamen in the Oregon constitution not having the same rights as white men.
And I take it from that the Representative Leonard is a no.
Well, not only a no, but I see this being in the Constitution as really of the same mentality as that was. And I just don't like it at all.
Mr. Chair, I object to spending any money on this as well, so I'll be nice.
Okay. We'll now go ahead. Representative Messer to make a motion that we approve the legislative fiscal recommendation. Are there let's see, the objections are Senator Charles, Representative Hansen, and Representative Leonard. Any further objections? Let's do that by roll call to ensure that we have a passing majority.
Mr. Chair, are we talking about now for the fiscal
amendment?
The
fiscal amendment.
Messer?
Aye.
Leonard?
No.
Hansen?
No.
Kraft?
Aye.
Charles?
No.
Lynn?
Aye.
Mariola?
Aye.
Butler?
Aye. The fiscal has been incorporated and passed. The due pass recommendation to the full ways and means, and I'll carry that to full ways and means, and it's already back to House.
Right, we just did it to the school.
Any concerns, Senator Lynn, or?
If I carry it, I'm going to carry it to Senate.
Okay, Senator Mariola, can you carry that, please?
Thank you for coming.
Okay, if there's no further business, we did not get to, we did not get comments in our week. Do you want to work the other one?
Be there.
Numbers, okay. Poll is in the half hour, and we do have some numbers for the bond bill, so closing House Resolution 4 and further discussion thereon, we will then open Senate Bill 5502 relative to the state bonds on the bond bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. We're passing out to you and recommend that we have numbers for the bond bill. Senate Bill 5502 is the bond bill which does not approve the expenditure of funds. All it does is authorize borrowing in the event that expenditure limitation is granted. And so there are other statutes that have to authorize the expenditure for projects and the like. So this is the bill that would authorize the borrowing for those and the different types of borrowing. As we have discussed before, We had discussed the Department of Higher Education's adjustments to the bond limitation. So the recommendation here is on page 1 of the Senate Bill 5502 is to delete on line 19, delete $67,491,100 and insert $37,705,276. This is for the Article 11G bonds. Again, this ties back to the Department of Higher Education budget.
11G bonds.
The 11G bonds change that amount to $37,705,276. The department's 11F1 bonds, these are dedicated general funds, change that amount on line 27 from $114,730,970 and in search instead $134,268,293. Both of these were included, these ties back to the construction projects approved in the Department of Higher Education's budget. Doing that, then on page 2, we recommend changing then the total general obligation bonds number from a total of $534,222,070 and insert instead a new total. $523,973,569. That would be the new total reflecting the changes there in higher education. Again, we previously discussed and had testimony on the Department of Transportation revenue bonds for highways. The change the number from $285 million on line 21 to $558,400,000. This again is consistent with the Department of Transportation's budget.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair Dallas. Yes. If we, the JASPAC proposal was passed with bonds $600 million, I take that will have to be revised.
Look, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, no, that is not the case. The bills with the JASPAC have separate borrowing authority.
Yes. Okay.
The new one of the we have for lottery revenue bonds. We are recommending on line 26 we delete $164,240,000 of authority and insert instead $262,805,000. There is a schedule provided with the detail of that $262,805,000. This does include the amounts from House Bill 2153. Providing bonds for the Columbia River dredging, the Coos Bay Natural Gas Pipeline, the Oregon Garden, monies for the State Fair and Exposition Center. The total amount of authorization exceeds the net amount because the statutory authorization says provides for net. We have to authorize bonds that would cover issuance costs and the like, so that the actual amount issued from the lottery revenue bonds, the amount of bonds would be higher than the net proceeds that would then go for these various projects. But given this new amount, $262,805,000, is the Department of Administrative Services and Treasury's estimate of the aggregate cost to provide those net amounts for these various projects. Again, those projects are detailed, and we have a list before you.
Well, it doesn't mean that there are new projects, and because of the amount of change that is changed.
Yeah. Also included there is $150 million for school rules. And
the additional.
That is the additional amount. I think originally it was about $100 million provided, and it's been increased. So that is the lottery revenue bond portion that we are recommending. Those changes then to revenue bonds would change the total direct revenue bonds, or we would recommend the change then to line 29 and deleting that amount of $1,179,240 to $1,051,205,000. And that's just the sum of the total of the direct revenue bonds.
The triple zeros off of the end have been omitted on the total change line 29.
Please forgive the typo.
So add 3 zeros at the end of that.
The amendment is drafted, of course, will reflect the proper amount of number of zeros. In fact, I do have an amendment drafted that has the
correct what
we're
doing.
I have a check from the state for reimbursement. I wonder if I could get some zeros out of that.
And then this would change the total revenue bond number over on page 3, line 1, to $2,151,205,000. Yes, that's a lot of money. The last recommendation is for certificates of participation in other financing agreements. The recommendation here is $382,265,000. An increase over the $371,130,000 that was originally put in the bill. We have much of it is Department of Administrative Services for facilities, and a lot of it is for corrections. You have a list, and then there are others that are spread around in various departments. Again, this is just borrowing authority if projects are approved in other bills and by the Assembly. Before you, the authority to borrow for women's prison or intake center, that authority to borrow would rest. I mean, you can only borrow once at the site or the project has been approved with the proper amount of money. The amounts here are considered to be consistent with what is provided already for the construction. And as the earlier testimony was that the amount that was in the construction bill was sufficient for a different site from the damaged site.
Mr. Chair. Representative Crapp, I
think. Now he has been
calling. Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman,
could I interrupt a moment?
I just
wanted to remind the committee the Senate is apparently, Senate Republicans are going to caucus at 9:45, and then we need you promptly back here. If you're full committee members, we need you promptly back here at 10 for full committee. That's my advice. Make that enough.
Thank you very, very kindly, Commissioner Lewis. Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, just briefly, Dallas, do you have a total figure of all of the state's bonded indebtedness of all types of bonds?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, can you not with me? We can get that.
Can you provide me with that information?
Yes.
I'm looking here at total revenue bonds without certificates of participation of $2.2 billion, and with COPs and everything else that we're doing in this state in our current debts. I would really like to know what that overall picture looks like. I'm getting very concerned that as we continue to approve these projects, and not looking at the big picture, I'm not looking at the big picture in terms of our bonded indebtedness, and I know that I think that needs to be a consideration on our part in the future, as I think we're going to be approaching a level at some point in time here where we're going to be affecting our bond rate. With the investment houses, and I think that we need to be very, very careful about that,
especially with the past expenditure limitations that we just passed out of this committee.
And Mr. Chairman, if we continue to let costs roll up and then turn around and have a significant effect on future biennial budgets.
We certainly need to keep an eye on that. Now, the recommendations now is. With those changes, is the bond bill ready at that point, or do we have other modifications that are still in the pipeline at this point?
These are our recommendations at this point to go forward. There may be other bills that may change, which may cause us to come back to the day. But given what's out there now, these would suffice, including, as I said, the corrections amount and the Director Cook said that the construction limitation provided was sufficient for an alternative type of damage. The amount provided here for certificates of participation is consistent with that amount.
Okay, we've heard the recommendation then from Legislative Fiscal on the R&D work session on Senate Bill 5502 for the bond limitation.
So move, Mr. Chair, to the full ways of the duplex.
I can move by Representative Hansen that we approve.
I'm going to vote for this, and it's not a courtesy because I do think we need to do this, but I do just overall object to all the deficit financing. I join Representative Krupp in that objection and think that if we could just get people to pay taxes in the state, we could do things up front without having to borrow them.
Can't get people to vote for taxes. Thank you, Senator Trow. With that caveat, and we appreciate all we got to do is just get the legislature to stop spending all of the tax. Representative Trump moves that we approve then Senate Bill 5502, bond limitation and adjustment percent to it, with line 29 having the triple zeros added as indicated. With that recommendation, we'll go ahead and incorporate that with a two pass. Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, we'll go order and we'll go to the full Ways and Means two pass recommendation.
We'll be the Senator Butler will.
I got beat up last night. Senator Butler will carry and I beat up again.
Hand yourself a motion.
Okay. Thank you.